Be holy in all you do. I hope you like being holy, because he's not going to stop until you are fully and completely holy as Jesus Christ is holy.
Proclaiming God's love and truth for you and your family. Wonder Lake Bible Church.
We're going to start off with a little word association game. You know that is where I say a word and you think the first thing that comes to your mind. Okay, just unfiltered, uncensored. Well, maybe we do need to censor it a little bit. When I say a few words, I just want you to think, what comes to your mind when you hear this? What image comes to your mind? Here are those words. The first one is this: autumn. Think of leaves, right? Beautiful leaves. How about this one? Winter.
Snow.
Cold.
Shoveling.
How about this one? Grace. Christ the Lord. Peace. All right. And then this one: holiness. God. You know, when some people hear those words, holy or holiness, though, you might not think of God and his magnificence. You might think of all kinds of other things, like sometimes very strange things. Like the holiness, they think what? They think of maybe some monk from the Middle Ages singing chants and whipping himself with a stick. I think that's holiness, right? Or how about this one? Maybe hear the word holy or holiness, they think of a self-righteous person who looks down on others. And maybe they think that person has what kind of an attitude? A holier than thou attitude, right? Holy is like a dirty word. You think you're better than other people. Or maybe they think of a person like a Mother Teresa, for example. Which is, she left everything behind to serve the poor and the destitute of Calcutta. And they just think, boy, if that, I can't be like that. It's an impossible standard. Or maybe they think that holiness is a set of rules and regulations. A holy person, well, you do this, you don't do that. Usually with an emphasis on the negative, right? All the stuff you don't do, and therefore all the fun you don't have in life, right? So maybe it's a set of rules. It's things that you don't do. Maybe it's reflected in all kinds of things like the music that you listen to. It can even be reflected in the clothes that you wear. There's a pastor friend of mine. He told me this story, a true story. One day he was approached by a man in his church who'd been in the church for a little while there. But then this man came up to him one day and he told him that he would be leaving the church. So my friend asked the man, well, why? Why are you leaving? And the man said, well, I just can't follow someone who isn't holy. You don't even wear a suit and tie. Really? If a preacher is holy, he will wear a suit and tie? I guarantee you that's not necessarily true. But if he dresses more casually, well then, he's not very holy. That was the thinking, the mentality this man had. Well, holiness is at the core. It's at the core of God's essence, isn't it? God is holy. The prophet Isaiah was given a powerful vision of the Lord. He heard the angels calling to one another, and what did they say? They said what? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. God is holy. Holy, and he calls the followers of Jesus to walk in holiness. Well, that's just impossible, right? Well, yeah. In ourselves. But he says, you and I are to be holy, that our lives are to be characterized by holiness. But just what is holiness? Well, before we look at that, let's take a moment to refresh our memory of where we've come in this series on revival, restoring the joy of our salvation, the joy, experiencing the joy of personal revival. We've said, what is revival? Well, revival is that strange and sovereign work of God in which he visits his own people, restoring, reanimating, releasing them into the fullness of his blessing. Said that if you'd like to explore this a little further, that there is a wonderful resource called Seeking Him, Experiencing the Joy of Personal Revival. This book, I highly recommend that to you. What have we seen so far? Well, we said that pride is a roadblock to revival, which blinds us to our true spiritual condition. So if we want to experience the revival of our hearts, it starts with humility, humbling ourselves before God, because with pride we can't see the truth about ourselves. That there must be honesty. It's admitting the truth about our spiritual condition, admitting the truth to God, admitting the truth to others, and admitting it in the process we call what?
Confession.
Repentance. Repentance is a turning away. It's a change of mind that results in a change of behavior. Now, that's pretty tough to humble ourselves, to confess, and to repent. We don't naturally want to do that. We're asked to do hard things, but God, though, has given us an extravagant provision to do that called grace. It's His grace that forgives. It's His grace that empowers. His grace that enables. His grace that enables, that picks us back up when we've failed yet again. We cannot live humble, holy, obedient lives without God's amazing, extravagant provision called grace. Today we're going to talk about holiness. Holiness is a heart like His. God is holy. He calls you and me to walk in holiness. And we'll see that as we grow in holiness, we are going to become increasingly set apart from sin and set apart to God for His purposes. So holiness is a setting apart from sin, and it's a setting apart to God for something, for His purposes. So holiness. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. Here Peter is addressing a persecuted church. He's going through some very difficult and painful times. But he was reminding them of the fullness and the richness of blessing that they have, that we have in Jesus Christ by faith. Eternal blessing. Just to remind them of that. And then he says something then about, okay, if we are followers of Jesus, if we have this eternal blessing in Him, it ought to matter. It ought to make a difference in how we live. And here's what he says about that in 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 13. Peter says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. I want us to reflect for a little bit on this text, on this passage, and what Peter is telling us. I want you to notice five commands there, five commands that he gives us. The first one he says is to prepare your mind for action, to prepare your mind for action. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Therefore, who knows what I'm going to say next?
What's the therefore, therefore,
right? What is the therefore, therefore? Well, if you look back, what do you see? You see the great blessings of salvation in verses 3 through 12. Take a look back there. Let's look at verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us what? New birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So let's take a look. What do you have right now as a believer in Jesus Christ? A new birth. You are a new person. You have hope, a living hope. How is this? Because you share in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, verse 4. And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. How many of you have received an inheritance at one time or another in your life? You received something that was passed down to you, is given to you, right? We have a spiritual, eternal inheritance in Jesus Christ that's been given to you. It's been given to me. We experience it in part right now, but we own it. It belongs to you right now, fully. The fullness of God's riches and blessings for eternity are yours right now. You experience it in part right now, but then one day, you'll experience it in the whole. And nobody can ever take it away from you. Nothing can ever change. You know, all the things that we might gather up for ourselves in this world, it's eventually all going to spoil and fade and go away, isn't it? In fact, what does Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount? Don't lay up treasures for yourself on earth where what? The moth gets to them, the thieves break in and steal, it rusts. All the stuff of this world is just going away. And some of it isn't necessarily bad, it's just not eternal. So build treasure that is going to last. And here he says, well, you have this eternal treasure and nothing is ever going to take away. You can't perish, it can't spoil, it can't fade. Don't you hear Peter just hearing the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount? He was there and he heard that. Could you imagine he's hearing that right there as he's writing this letter? He's thinking on that, no doubt about it. In fact, that's interesting. If you look through Peter's writings, boy, it's just one passage after another. There's just, I know where he got that. Oh, I know where he got that. Where did he get it? From Jesus. So you have an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. You don't have to try to hold on to it. It's kept for you. Who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. You know, by faith, you are shielded by God's power. You have new birth. You have a living hope. You have an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. It's kept in heaven for you, and you're being shielded by God's power until Jesus comes again. He is shielding you with his power. Nothing can take you out of God's hand. It says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. And these have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. It talks about all these things that God has done for you as a believer in Jesus Christ. Did you know that the angels are amazed by what God is doing in you? Where do you get that from? Well, look. Verse 12, it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. The angels are amazed by what God has done and what God is going to do in you and for you and through you. That is who you are. Verse 13, therefore, what's the therefore, therefore? Because of all that. Therefore, in light of who you are in Christ, in the light of all that you have in him, in light of this amazing salvation that the angels are amazed by, therefore, prepare your mind. Therefore, you know what? Let's go. This requires a response on our part on how we live. And what is our response? Well, to live holy lives. Therefore, prepare your mind for action. Now, if you were to look at this text in the original language, The Greek language there, that what you would find, it literally says, gird up the loins of your mind. Huh? What? Gird up the, put on a girdle, what? Gird up the loins of your mind. What in the world is that talking about? We have it translated here, prepare your mind for action. That's a good way to translate the thought there. But it literally says, gird up the loins of your mind. Why? Well, because in biblical times, what kind of clothing did they wear? When they were out and about, they were wearing what? Like those robes, right? Now, if you're wearing something like that, or ladies, if maybe if you have a long dress on, are you ready to go out and start running? Are you ready for action? Go out and run in one of those? No, if you had to do that, what do you have to do? You have to gird up, you have to kind of hold it up, tie it up first and tie it around your waist so that your legs are free to move. So the original audience, this gird up the loins of your mind, they're picturing if someone was going to start moving or quickly or take decisive action, they'd have to gird up the loins of their robe so they could move and be free and not be hindered. So that's what we're saying. It's like, you need to gird up the loins of your mind. Now, get ready, do something. In light of all this we've just seen, what God has done for us in Christ, all that you have, all that you are, that all that he's going to do, well, let's go. Chop, chop. Right? Prepare your minds for action. So be ready to see God work and be ready to respond. Practically speaking, it means what? Be ready to obey. Be ready to do what he tells you to do. Prepare your minds for action. Do what he's telling you to do. Set your mind to do that. And speaking of setting your mind, what? Be self-controlled. Be sober. Some of you may have that translation. Be sober. Be self-controlled. And self-control here can take a variety of forms and instances here, but here it's referring specifically to an attitude or a state of mind of being alert. Ready, listening, paying attention, Lord. Okay, Lord, speak. Lord, your servant hears. All right, I'm alert. I'm listening. In other words, don't let your mind slip or wander away into any kind of thinking or laziness of mind which could lead you into sin or to unproductive living. In other words, what? Stay focused on what you need to be focused on. So what, therefore, get ready for act, get ready to obey. Stay focused on what you ought to be focused on. Don't let your mind be wandering all kinds of places where it doesn't belong. Be alert. We have to beware of losing our spiritual concentration through the mental intoxication of things like worldly attitudes and pursuits. Materialism, sensuality, narcissism, a focus on ourselves. But you know, we can even become distracted by good things. And when I say that, they're not evil, they're not sinful things, but we can become distracted by it. We're focused on that instead of being alert and prepared for action. Well, what kind of good things? Well, how about good things like our jobs or our careers? Friendships. Or how about this one? Somebody's going to get mad when I say this one. We can even get distracted by our families. Now, I think families are great, all right? Well, I hope they're great, but this is what, life is more than your, some of us think that life is all about the family, and guess what? It isn't. Family's a good thing, but life is about, it's about the Lord, isn't it? So be self-controlled. Stay focused on the right things. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount tells us what the right things are. He says what? Seek first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. In other words, who you are and what you do that's pleasing to the Lord. His righteousness, his holiness. Be a righteous person and the kingdom of God. God's purposes, God's will, God's plan for extending and expanding the kingdom of God into the world. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then what? And then all these things will be added. He's going to take care of all the other things that you don't need to be worried about. He'll handle that. Don't be distracted by that stuff. You stay focused on the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So prepare your mind for action. Be self-controlled. And boy, I love this next one. Set your hope on the grace that you'll be given. Set your hope on the grace that you'll be given. Now, this is a powerful statement. It's full of joy. It's full of delight for those who will meditate on its truth. Set your hope on the grace you will be given. The grace that you will be given when Jesus Christ is revealed. Now, before we reflect on that, I'd like to take a moment here. I want you to use that great power of imagination that you have to imagine this. We're going to play a little game called What If here, okay? I want you to close your eyes. Close your eyes. Listen to my voice. You're getting very sleepy. No. Close your eyes and imagine. Imagine that everything I'm about to tell you is absolutely true. Suspend your disbelief for a moment. Everything I'm about to tell you is absolutely true. Tomorrow, you are going to receive a check for $100 million. Tomorrow, your body will be instantly transformed into perfect health, fitness, youth, and beauty. Tomorrow, you will know perfect love. If you're married, every day will be like the best day that you ever had with your mate, actually even better. If you're single, you're going to meet that soulmate for whom your heart has longed. If you're content, you're going to be even more content. Tomorrow, your life will be filled daily with an incredible and profound sense of meaning, purpose, and satisfaction. Tomorrow, you will lack nothing good. All right, you can open your eyes now. That sound pretty good? Boy, if that was all true, how would that affect your attitude today if you knew tomorrow all those things I just told you were going to happen? How would that affect your attitude and your thinking about today and your life and what you're experiencing now? How would it affect your perception of whatever you might be facing or dealing with today? Well, folks, the incredible truth is that everything I just told you is going to happen to you. And in fact, actually much, much more. That's just like scratching this. That's just human imagination. Because the truth is the Scripture says that we can't even imagine all that God has prepared for those who love him. And that's what Peter's talking about here when he says, set your hope, what? On the grace to be given you when Christ is revealed. That's what he's talking about. Everything, that inheritance, all that stuff he's talked about earlier, that's the grace to be given you. It's all the good stuff. That's the grace that will be given you. Now, it won't necessarily be tomorrow, but you know what? It could be tomorrow, couldn't it? It could be. Because we don't know when Jesus is going to return. He could return tomorrow. He could return today. He could return before this message is over. Some of you would like that a lot, wouldn't you? I wonder, how does that hope affect your thinking and your behavior now? How does it, or how should it impact your Christian life, that reality? How should it impact you? Prepare your mind for action. Be self-controlled. Be focused on the right things. Set your hope on the grace we've given. Reflect, meditate on everything that God has done for you and he's going to do. Fourth, and don't conform. Don't conform to your old evil desires. Therefore, in light of all that, In light of all this, get ready for action, think the right thoughts, set your hope on what God is going to do for you. So don't live that way anymore, the old way, conforming your life to those old, evil, sinful desires. The word translated conform here is the same word that you find in Romans 12:2. How many of you know what that verse says? Romans 12:2 says what? But do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. To be conformed means to be patterned after, to match the shape of something. So don't pattern your life according to your sinful fleshly desires. Don't conform to that. Don't live that way. Don't let your behavior and your attitudes be patterned after the sinful flesh. Because after all, when we did that, we all once did, we were living in ignorance. Ignorance means not to know something. And more specifically in this case, it means not to know someone. When we lived in ignorance, we did not know God. We did not know His holiness. We did not know His purpose and His plan. We did not know better. But now we do know. We do know God, and we do know better, don't we? So don't live that way anymore. Don't conform to your old evil desires, but what? Instead, do what? Be holy. Be holy. God, who has called you out of darkness, is holy. He's light, He's love, He's truth. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. Be holy in all you do, it says. God is making you holy. And by the way, nothing's going to stop Him from completing that good work that He's begun in you. I hope you like being holy, because He's not going to stop until you are fully and completely holy as Jesus Christ is holy. And you're going to be holy forever and ever and ever. But right now, He's called you and me to keep going in that process of being changed and transformed to the image of Christ, being made more holy. Said holy, what? It's not the Middle Ages monk hitting himself with a whip. What is it? Well, to be holy, it means to be, literally means to be separate, to be set apart. It means to be other than, or maybe here's the one best word that summarizes what holiness is. It's pure. Be pure. Be pure. I'd like us to reflect for just a moment on two aspects of holiness, two arenas of holiness, two different ways of considering your holiness. First one, Scripture speaks of what we call a positional holiness, which means what? That the purity of Christ was given to you by faith. Given to you by faith and is now given you an eternal standing before God that is pure, unstained, unblemished, and can never be undone. Do you believe that? Do you know that's true about you? You think, boy, if you had this, but boy, what does God think about me? I think a lot of us would probably turn our heads down and, boy, we don't want to think about what God thinks about us, right? I got news for you. You see that right there? That's what He thinks about you. Pure, unstained, unblemished, can never be undone. Well, wait a minute. God knows. Yeah, He knows about your sin, but He sees this. You know, because God is eternal, He sees it all. He sees the beginning, the middle, and the end. He sees it all. And He sees you now as you will be. Now, again, that doesn't mean that God isn't aware of our sinful attitudes and behavior and that He's not working in this to discipline us, of course. But this is ultimately who you are, and that's how He sees you, and nothing is ever going to change that or take that away. You are holy before Him. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you're holy before Him. You're pure, unstained, unblemished, and nothing can ever take that away or change that. That's your position in Christ. We all know there's this other thing we're going to call the practical holiness, which is the temporal outworking of your eternal position in Christ. As you grow to resemble more and more the purity of the Lord Jesus Christ. We call that what? Sanctification. Justified, we're made right once and for all. We have the holiness of Jesus Christ himself. That's now yours as a gift by faith. And God sees that. That's how he sees. That's the lens through which he views. Christ is the lens through which he views you and me. Because of that, let's prepare our minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set our minds on that hope that we have, that living hope, on the grace that is to be given to us when Christ returns. Let's put aside, put away, put off the old ways and put on holiness. A couple of arenas of holiness, of practical holiness. Character, it's the purity of Christ expressed in you. The kind of person you are, becoming more and more like Jesus. And service, the purity of Christ expressed through you. Holiness is who you are, and it's also what you do because of who you are in Christ. So as we grow in holiness, we are increasing what happens. We are increasingly set apart from sin, set apart from something, and set apart to God for his purposes. This is holiness. This is what he's called you and me to do. I want to close today with a little interaction, a little congregation interaction here, okay? What the scriptures tell us to put off. We're going to be holy men and women. Now, we are positionally holy once and for all, forever in Christ, aren't we? But the practical holiness, those are steps we take here and now as we respond with faith and obedience to what God is saying. And maybe God is putting his finger on something in your life now. My point over here, I want this side to say put off. Don't be put off by that, folks, but when I want you to say put off, okay? And when I point over here, I want this side to say put on. We're going to put off, we're going to put on. Put off lack of love. Put on love. Bitterness, unforgiveness. Tenderheartedness, forgiveness. Selfishness. Self-denial. Pride. Humility. Stubbornness. Brokenness. Disobedience, obedience, impatience, patience, ungratefulness, gratitude. Okay, now this next one here, some of you might be murmuring or complaining about, how come we always have to be the put off? We want to be the put on people. So now when I point over here, I want you folks to say, put off, and you folks say, put on, all right? Murmuring and complaining. Praise, strife and contention, peace, anger, self-control, gossip, edifying speech, lying, speaking the truth, evil thoughts, pure thoughts, got a little ahead of myself there. Worry and fear. Trust. Temporal values. Eternal values. Lust. Pure desires. Finally, preferential treatment. Loving neighbor as self. Those are just a few. There's actually the list in that book I told you about earlier. There's 65 of those challenges there. So there's plenty to think on. I wonder if maybe you heard something in there today? Is there something you need to put off? Something else you need to put on? We need to put off our sin and disobedience and put on the holiness of Christ. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the incredible riches that you've given us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, it's hard for us to comprehend. In fact, your word tells us we can't even imagine it. It's never entered into our minds. We can't conceive. No eye is seen, no ear is heard, no mind is imagined the things that God has prepared for those who love us. And God, what we do see, what we do understand, is incredible. How much more so, Lord? But Lord, sometimes it's hard for that living hope to grasp, to get a hold of our hearts, because we can become so consumed with the here and the now. Lord, we're not self-controlled in our minds. We're focused on the things of this life and this world, and we're not focused on eternal things. Lord, forgive us for those times when we have outright, deliberately rebelled, disobeyed you. And God, then too, there are those times where we don't even realize what we're doing. But God, you call us to take all of that, to put it off and to put on holiness. And Lord, we know that I can't do it. We can't do it ourselves in our own strength and resources, Lord. That's why we fall down before you now and give you thanks for your grace. Your grace that forgives, your grace that sustains, your grace that holds us forever and ever. Your grace that will complete the work that you've begun in us. And it's in the name of Jesus we say thank you and amen.